This morning, we're going to deal with a very familiar passage of Scripture. And I believe that God desires to do a work in the heart of people that are here this morning.
Hallelujah.
How many of you came ready to receive a word from the Lord? Say amen. I want you to look up here at me again and say that. How many of you came to receive a word from the Lord? Amen. Say amen. You know, it's a tragedy how often we come into church and we come in and go out the same way that we came in. And God did His very best. God tried. God did His very best to give you a touch, to deliver a message to your heart that will change you. But very often we come in and we go out the same way. What a tragedy. To be in the presence of the Lord and to miss what God's trying to say to our hearts. Amen? And I believe somebody's going to be touched today. John chapter number 11. The title of the message is Raised Up from the Dead. We're going to skip around a few verses here just to conserve a little bit of time. But verse number 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary, which anointed the Lord with oil and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto Him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom Thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Come on, somebody. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Now skip over to verse number 14. Verse number 14. Then Jesus said unto them, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Verse number 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now, verse number 32, and this is our last portion of Scripture. Verse number 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Verse number 35, Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused it that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Amen. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and he knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they might believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he said, and he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus. And God, I pray that even today, that you would touch my lips of clay with the holy anointing of the Holy Ghost. I pray, Father God, that you would give me words. And that, God, these words would bring life to those that would hear. And I'm asking, God, that you would curse every lie of the devil, every attempt of Satan to oppress this service, the preaching of your word. Father God, that you would curse it right now in the name of Jesus. And that, God, you would break every chain. That, God, you would do a great and a mighty work. That, God, you would raise up from the dead. And Lord, we will give you the glory. We will give you the praise in Jesus' name. Everybody shout it, in Jesus' name. I said, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You know, we read through this story and what a tragedy that we read unfold right before our eyes. Lazarus begins to get sick in his body. And they send for Jesus, and for some reason Jesus delayed. He delayed in going to Lazarus, and in that time, Lazarus, his body grew sicker and ultimately and finally gave in to death. And we read this story and we find Lazarus laying in that tomb, and we hear Mary and Martha as they begin to weep, and we see the emotion of Christ himself. But when we read this story that I believe took place in the natural, without a shadow of a doubt, I believe that Jesus raised Lazarus up from the dead. How many of you believe it? Say amen. I believe that without a shadow of a doubt. That he raised up his physical body from the dead and that Lazarus lived again. But as we read through this story, I believe that in many ways this tragedy of a death and the miracle of a resurrection, that in many ways it mirrors a spiritual condition that we often find right here in the body of Christ. I want you to hear me. As we look back at Lazarus, Lazarus loved Jesus. Lazarus knew Christ. His family loved Jesus, and Jesus loved them. And yet, in the midst of it all, Lazarus succumbed. Lazarus gave in to the natural causes, and the Bible says that he found himself laying in that cold and dead tomb. His life had been taken from him. And now all that was left was a shell of the man that used to be. Now again, when I look at the body of Christ today, and I believe this story, it mirrors a tragic spiritual condition in the heart of many people sitting right here under the sound of my voice. In other words, you, like Lazarus, you've lost the life that once burned inside your heart. That you, like Lazarus, now have been reduced to just a memory of what you used to be. Is anybody hearing this? And we see Lazarus that loved God. And I'm sure that you love God. And I'm sure that you're committed to him. And thank God you're here this morning. But in spite of Lazarus and his love for Jesus Christ, still yet he died. And he desperately needed a miracle in his life. Now I believe this morning, And I feel it. I feel the warfare raging. I feel the enemy trying to come and steal away the word of God, even from your ears today. But I wish and I pray that maybe this morning you will hear the word of the Lord. That you will allow the word of God to penetrate in to the depths of your heart, and that you would hear the voice of God as He's calling you from that place of death. See, I look at this story and I see so many different examples and parallels of Lazarus and those that are in the body of Christ who have tragically, spiritually died in so many ways. And do you remember when you first got saved? And that fire that burned inside your heart. How many of you remember what it was when you came to Christ and all of your sins were washed away? I see it all of the time. I will see people, they'll get on fire for God. They'll feel the touch of the Holy Spirit. And sadly, but they'll begin to die away. Sadly, they'll begin to drift further and further away from the Lord. And many times they will continue with the religious motions, the mundane practices of religion. They'll come to church. They'll go back home. They'll give in the offering. They'll stand up. They'll sit down. And yet, inside their heart, they're dead. Come on, somebody. We look back at this story and I see several parallels. You see, Lazarus, he died before his time. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? His date with death had not yet arrived. His time to leave this world had not yet come. But that sickness was for the glory of God. And I want you to understand that Lazarus going before his time was the very reason that Christ went to raise him up. And I look out through the church today and I look at the body of Christ, and you know, in many ways, the body of Christ is dead in comparison to what we once were. When you look back at the early church and the baptism of the Holy Ghost that came on the day of Pentecost, they burned with a fire in their heart. They burned with the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. They were alive and thriving and doing what God had given them to do. And yet many times when you look at the church today, right here in this congregation, you will find those who, like Lazarus, are dead spiritually before their time. I want you to know what God gave the church on the day of Pentecost was intended to bring us across the finish line. What God gave the church with the mighty baptism of the Holy Ghost was intended to give us the power to walk in authority, to give us the power to make it through this journey, to give us the power to cross the finish line and hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And what God gave you, everybody shout me. What God gave you when you came to Christ, that new life that exploded into your being. The Bible said that when you come to Jesus, you're a new creature. Everything's passed away and everything's made new. And that life that Christ gave you when you came to Him, and the power of the Holy Ghost that once burned inside your heart, listen to me, that was intended to bring you across the finish line. It's that fire that burns in your heart. It's that Spirit of the living God burning in you that gives you the ability to overcome sin. It's that anointing of the Holy Ghost. It is the power of the Spirit. It is the life of God that intended to bring you across the finish line. That's why the Bible said, "He that began a good work in you will be faithful to perform it until that day." But somewhere along the way, even in the midst of a church that is blessed with the anointing of the Holy Ghost, blessed with the move of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, Blessed with a worship team that will follow the glory of God. Blessed with a pastor that will preach the uncompromised word. And yet somehow, come on somebody, somehow that life that once burned in you, somehow the power of the Spirit that was intended to bring you to the end, somehow that life that God supernaturally exploded into your being has begun to fade away. Lazarus died before his time. And many of you sitting here today, you're here, thank God, but you died before your time. The light went out. The fire no longer burns. You just show up out of habit or out of obligation. I thought to myself the other night as I prayed, I could picture members of our church, and I thought to myself, how long has it been since I've seen some of you in this altar with tears streaming down your face? How long has it been since I've watched you walk from where you're sitting to this front? How long has it been since I've seen you with your hands lifted in the air, giving God the glory? How long has it been since that fire, since the life that God placed in you started to die out? Lazarus died before his time. We talk about the Church of Jesus Christ. We talk about the tragic condition of the church and how that God, we need God to raise up the church. Some of you believe we need God to raise up the church. Say amen. Amen. But don't you realize that the death of the body happens one individual at a time? Come on, somebody. One person that grows cold in their spirit. One person who the fire no longer burns. One person who takes their faith off of Christ and places it on something else. One person that begins to dip back into the ways of the world. One death at a time has brought about the death of what we call the Church of Jesus Christ in these last days. Now we look at what's going on. We look at what's happening in society, in our government, in Hollywood. And we want to blame the church, and rightly we should. But do not forget that it happened one individual at a time. One church member at a time that grew cold in their heart. One church member at a time that lost the fire that once burned in their heart. One church member at a time that thought everything else was more important than what God was doing in their life. One church member at a time died before it was their time. And now today, the body of Christ, listen to me. The body of Christ that was intended to reveal the glory of God in the last days. The body of Christ that was to make way and prepare the path for the coming of the Son of Man. For the body of Christ that was to be the arm and the institution of God here on this earth. We've died before our time. We're no longer effective in the world that we live in today. One person at a time. One father, one mother, one man, one woman, one preacher at a time. That life, the fire, somehow went out. And now much of the body is dead. Is anybody hearing this? I look back at this text and I have to ask myself, how was it that Lazarus died? This man that loved God. This man that knew Jesus personally. How is it that this man suddenly got sick and ultimately died? I can only say to you that his natural body gave way to the natural causes. I don't know what it was that claimed the life of Lazarus. I'm not sure if it was a heart attack or if it was cancer or whatever it was that may have claimed and sucked the life right out of his natural body. But his natural body gave way to the natural causes. And how many of you know death will be finished before it's over? Come on, somebody. And I look back and I wonder what it must have been, but something grabbed onto him. Something attacked his body. And it worked its work, and finally, death was the end result. Now, when we look into the heart of the church, when I look into the heart of those here this morning that I know God's trying to talk to you, I gotta ask myself, what was it that caused you to somehow die? Again, Lazarus knew Christ and loved Jesus. I'm sure that they went to church on Sunday morning. I'm sure they showed up on Wednesday night. But somehow they still watched as Lazarus wasted away and ultimately died. And I've got to wonder this morning, as I look out at you, as I look into the empty, hollow eyes, as I see the Spirit of God move and you are untouched and you're unchanged. You might be here, but you're not here. Come on, somebody. You may be in this building listening to my voice, but your heart's not hearing what I'm saying. I wonder what it was that caused your spiritual death. I believe much like Lazarus, as his natural body gave way to the natural causes which ultimately brought about death, I believe that somehow, even though you love God, even though you came to church, even though you felt the touch of his Holy Spirit, that somewhere along the way, your natural man gave way. To the natural, fleshly, carnal nature of this world. Now the Bible tells us, everybody with me, say amen. Amen. That our flesh wars against our spirit. Our spirit and flesh, they're contrary one to the other. My Bible tells me that sin, when it is finished, it will bring forth death. Now what we've done many times is we played with the things of this world, and we've tried to serve God. Come on, somebody, and say amen. We've allowed the enemy to invade our life. We've allowed the enemy to sow a little bit of leaven, and it leavened the whole lump. And just like Lazarus, his natural body gave way to the natural causes. Just like the Bible says, we've turned our attention away from the Lord. Our heart grew hungry for the things of this world, and the natural cause became death spiritually. Come on. I don't know why I'm the way I am, Brother English. You're watching the natural progression of those that will taste of God and then go back and taste of the world. We somehow watch that life be sucked right out of us in the middle of a church service, hanging out with our Christian brothers and sisters. And somehow, slowly but surely, our spirit gave way to the natural causes. And as we sowed leaven, as we compromised, as we turned our heart away from the Lord, as we walked away from our first love, as we turned and walked away from the fire that once burned in our heart, our spirit gave way to the natural causes. Like Lazarus, we have become victims. Victims of our own flesh. Victims of the very causes in which we allowed to come into our life. I think about Lazarus and how he must have died. And then I realize that Lazarus, everybody shout Lazarus. In spite of the fact that he was dead and already laying in that tomb, I realized that Jesus still loved him. Come on, somebody. That his death did not sway the love of Christ. That even laying dead in that tomb, that Jesus still loved him enough to go to him. Can I tell you this morning that I believe without a shadow of a doubt, you sitting here under the sound of my voice, that God still loves you enough. You may be dead, you may be cold, you may have long ago walked away from the fire that burned in your heart. You may go through the motions, you may show up and go back home. Maybe God is the furthest thing from your mind, but let me tell you this morning that God still loves you even though you're dead. God still loves you even though a great tragedy has happened in your life. He still loves you. I think back to all the times that God has repeatedly tried to reach you in your dead condition. You know, the way we see death today, it's final. There's nothing beyond that grave except for eternity. As I do a funeral service for people, we will get to the graveside and I will say these words: we have come as far in this life as we can with the one that has departed. And once we place them into the ground, it's gone until eternity. And I tell you this morning that God in heaven, he looks down over this church. He sees that one that's not been to the altar in years. He sees that one that's not felt the touch of his Holy Ghost. He sees the one that's grown cold in their heart, and yet his heart still aches for you. And repeatedly he's tried. Repeatedly he has sent the Holy Ghost to knock on the door. Repeatedly he sent the preacher to the platform to give you a word. God still loves you even though you're dead spiritually. God still loves the church. My Bible tells me that Christ came and he gave his life for you and for me. My Bible tells me that Christ loved the church so much so that he gave himself for her. And I believe today that God looks down not only in this congregation, but God looks down at the body of Christ today and he sees that the fire went out. He sees that they no longer live in the power of the Holy Ghost, but he still loves his church. Look back at the story of Lazarus, and I see that his death brought great sorrow. We read in the text how that as Christ comes near, that his family, Mary and Martha, they meet Jesus and they said, if you would have just been here, our brother would still be alive. Great sorrow had gripped their heart. His family wept over the loss of their brother. They wept over the all too soon departure of that one that they loved. But not only his family, but the onlookers, those that watched what was unfolding, their heart was filled with sadness as well. You may not even know what's going on. You may not be personally touched by a tragedy. But when you know it and you see it, your heart can still break. And the family, they wept and cried. Sorrow filled their heart. The onlookers, sorrow filled their heart. And even Christ himself, As he approached the entrance of that tomb, the Bible says in two short words, Jesus wept. What a display of emotion for the Son of the Living God to stand before that which had died and to weep. So much so that the onlookers, when they saw Christ cry, they said, oh, how much he must have loved him. Great sorrow had gripped the heart of those there on that day because of the sudden, quick passing of that one. Can I tell you this morning that I believe that because of your spiritual death, there is great sorrow. I don't know about anybody else in this church, but just like Lazarus, his family, they wept over the loss of their loved one. Can I tell you this morning, it don't matter who you are, but when I begin to discern that you're dying spiritually, when I begin to discern that you're walking away from the fire of God that once burned in your heart, I'm going to tell you right now, it fills my heart with sorrow. See, your spiritual death, you sometimes think, well, it's not going to affect anybody else but me. How do you know it's going to affect your family? Come on, somebody. It's going to make your pastor's heart grow heavy with sorrow. Your brothers and sisters, they're going to notice the difference. They're going to notice that you walked away. They're going to notice that something's not right. Your family members, your wife, your children. You say, well, it's none of nobody else's business. But no, listen. When you die spiritually, it's going to touch somebody else. When you die spiritually, it's going to bring devastation to somebody else's life. But not only does your dead spiritual condition break my heart, not only does it break the heart of your brothers and sisters that pray for you, not only does it affect your earthly natural family, but just like it was with Lazarus, when God sees you begin to die, it grieves and breaks his heart. Is anybody here? I know some of you are here this morning. I know that what I think about you still matters. Some of you, I know it don't. I can tell by what you post on Facebook. Come on, somebody. You don't care what the preacher thinks about you. But I know some of you that it means something to you, and you don't want the preacher to know, and you don't want the preacher to worry, and you don't want the preacher to lay on his face and cry out. But much worse than me, you better start thinking about what God thinks about you in your current condition. When God sees you laying there dead, his heart is broken. Understand me this morning. That I believe God weeps as he stands over the grave of the one that he loves. The one that loved him and once burned with a... You got to imagine that Jesus loved Lazarus and Lazarus loved Jesus. They must have had at one point a relationship. They must have broken bread together. They must have known each other's voice. And Jesus standing there looking at that grave, knowing that the dead body of his friend was laying in that tomb, his heart broke. And I'm telling you that when God looks down over the graveyard of the church today, when God looks down through the ceiling of this sanctuary this morning, and he sees your cold, dead spirit sitting in that chair, God knows what it was to one time have a relationship with you. You broke bed with him one time. You prayed and called on his name. He touched you with the power of his Holy Spirit. And now to see you laying in that tomb. The course of the story, we finally find Lazarus. That man that once possessed a vibrant life with blood flowing through his veins, heart beating. We find that Same Lazarus laying in a cold, dark, and dead tomb. What a drastic fall from grace. To be full of life one day. To be on fire. And then to find yourself laying in that cold and dark and lonely tomb. That's where we find Lazarus. Let me tell you where we find much of the church today. Much of the body of Christ. People sitting here under the sound of my voice. When you fall from grace, when you go from the life that God gave you, from the spirit that burned inside of you, when that fire goes out, when that light no longer burns, you will find yourself in a cold, dead tomb of religion. Yeah, you'll come to church. Yeah, you'll give an offering. Yeah, you might be here tonight to eat some pancakes and support the Royal Rangers and the Missionettes, but there's no life in you. Rather than a fiery relationship with the Lord, rather than the Spirit of God burning in your heart, rather than you lifting up your hands with tears streaming down your face, rather than coming to this altar, this meeting place with God, no, you'll sit back there in your chair, your arms will be held down, a scowl will come across your face, but somehow you feel as though you're all right. Why? Because you're laying in a cold, empty tomb called religion. There's no life in religion. Come on, somebody. I was in a graveyard just the other day, and I stood and looked out across those headstones, and there was no life in that graveyard. Come on, somebody. No, all that laid there was empty, dead ruins of a life that once was. And I tell you that when we tragically fall from a relationship with Christ and we settle for an empty and dead religion, let me tell you, there's no life. There's no life in you just coming to church. There's no life in you just giving an offering. There's no life in the name of a denomination. The only life comes from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. What a tragedy. As I prepared for this message, and God began to reveal to me that many sitting here under the sound of my voice, you're already laying in that cold, empty tomb called religion. You dress it up on Sunday morning, nobody knows. But it's been a long time since you felt the touch of God. Oh, you still profess Him with your mouth, but your heart's far from Him. Been a long time since you've been in this altar. Been a long time since you laid in your prayer closet at home. Been a long time since you felt the fire of His Spirit burning in your heart. And while you might look like it, and while you may come to church, you're just laying in the empty tomb of religion. And on that day, listen to me, well, I went to Galloway Full Gospels, not going to be enough. Well, I was a card-carrying member of the Assemblies of God, won't be enough. I belong to the Church of God in Christ. I was a Baptist from the time that I was 12 years old. I went to church. I gave in the offering. I went through the motions. But on that day, you'll hear this. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never did know you. I look back at this story. And I realized the obvious that Lazarus laying in that cold, dead tomb no longer had the ability to live the life that was set before him. No, he was constricted by death. They had wrapped up his hands and his feet, and they had put a napkin over his mouth, and they had put him in a tomb and rolled the stone in front of him. No longer, never again would he be able to do, to live the life that had been set before him. In that condition, his life had been drained from his body. His opportunity was over. And I think today, as I look out across this congregation of people that I love, that I pray for, that I preach my guts out to reach, and I think to myself, what a tragedy that you have died spiritually, and what God intended you to do, you'll never be able to do it. No, because you're bound up. Yeah, are you hearing me? You're bound up. You've got something over your mouth where you can't even talk. You can't share what Christ has done for you. Your hands are bound up. You're not able to worship. Your feet are bound up. You're not able to do what God called you to do. And on top of that, the devil rolled a stone right over the top of your grave. And what are we going to do? Continue to get together until the end comes and have a dead, cold, useless church and somehow think we're going to present that to him? He's looking for a church without spot, without blemish. A church that's alive and thriving. He's not looking for a church that's willing to give him weekend visitation, but not willing to live for him every day of their life. Come on, somebody, and shout amen. We are no longer. That's why the church is in the shape it's in. Yeah, we blame the preacher for not preaching the gospel. Yes, we look at the heart of the church and realize that something tragic has happened. But I'll tell you where it started. One church member at a time that grew cold in their heart and grew dead. And that alone has made the church ineffective. I look at the death of Lazarus, and I see one of the most touching scenes in all of the Bible. How that when Lazarus laid there dead, that his death moved the heart of Jesus. His death, I said already that Jesus loved him. But how many of you know that true love will produce action? Come on. And his death moved the heart of Christ so that Christ went to him. Christ left where he was to go there to where he was. Is anybody hearing me? The heart of Christ was moved at the death of his friend. And again, I say this morning that I believe that God's heart is moved at the death of his children. It's moved at the coldness in your heart. And Jesus Christ, as he did, he went to Lazarus. Can I tell you this morning that God is here? The Spirit of the living God, the power of the Holy Ghost, the Word of God is here. He's come to you. He's come trying to reach you. He's come trying to knock on the doorway of your heart. Jesus wasn't there to hand out business cards, but he was there for his friend. Jesus, this morning, he's here for you. He's here for that cold, dead, lonely heart. He's here for the one that's trapped up in the tomb of religion. He's here for the one that once felt his touch, but they walked away. Jesus Christ on this Sunday morning is here for you. I look back at this story and I see that Jesus Christ spoke a word. He spoke a word, and supernaturally life came back into that dead body of Lazarus. Can you imagine with me what it must have been like on that day? As Jesus stood afar off looking at the tomb, and as he lifted up his voice, come on somebody, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. I can imagine the supernatural power that came up out of his spirit. I can imagine as all of heaven moved at the voice of Jesus Christ and supernatural life entered back into that dead body. Woo, come on. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, that which was dead, at the word of Jesus Christ, that which was dead, that which was held in the tomb of religion, that which had been bound up, that natural body that had given over to the natural causes, at the word of Jesus Christ, when he said, Lazarus, come forth, my Bible tells me the dead man, he lived again. He came walking up out of that tomb. Why? Because Jesus Christ has the power. He got out of my soul. I see that as Christ speaks the word, life comes back into that dead body. And I will tell you this morning, I believe without a shadow of a doubt that God stopped off at 3357 West Farm Road, 146 today. And I believe that God has given you a word, that it is the word of the living God. It's not the word of the preacher. This isn't what John English is saying, but this is what thus saith the Lord. God is calling out to you. God's calling out to the cold and dead and lifeless spirit, saying, come forth. And I will raise you back up again. I will rekindle the fire that once burned in your heart. I'll give you the life and the power to make it through this journey and someday cross the finish line. And I look at the story and the whole thing was for the glory of God. The resurrection of Lazarus was so that God would receive the glory. And this morning what God will do inside of you today is for His glory. That he might raise up a church that's alive, a church that's thriving, a church that's full of his power and full of his anointing, a church that will go on and do what God called them to do. I see it. I see the story as Lazarus came forth. Can you imagine how those that looked on must have dropped their jaw? Wow. And the Bible says when they looked, verse number 45, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, they believed on him. Let me tell you something. There's people dependent upon you to give them Jesus Christ. There's people that God is placing in your pathway. You've got a family. You've got a church full of brothers and sisters. And there's a world dying and going to hell. And when they pass by you, if all they see is a grave full of dead men's bones, if all they see is a lifeless remembrance of what you once were, let me tell you, you'll do them no good. But when you are full of the life and the power and the fire of the Holy Ghost, when they see you, they will believe in God. They'll say, if God did that for them, I know that God must be real. And this morning, listen, I'm going to close. But I believe without a shadow of a doubt that there are people under the sound of my voice, you know that you're dead spiritually. If not already dead, you're close to death. God says, I'll raise you back up again. I'll fill you with new life. I'll baptize you. I'll set your heart on fire if you'll just come to me. All over this building, stand on your feet right now. Nobody moving. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I have delivered exactly what you told me to do. Now, God, I pray that you, Holy Spirit, would speak loud and clear. Cry out into the heart of that one that's grown cold and dead. Cry out to the heart of that one who's not been to this altar. Cry out to that one who's walked away, who the fire no longer burns. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you, God, would do the work. I pray that, God, as I have delivered your word, that their heart has been trembling. And I pray, Father God, that you would touch them in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Every head is bowed. Every eye is closed. If you're here today, I'm about to ask you to respond. You've heard the word. You've heard the word. The word has been trumpeted into your ears. Now what you do with it is going to make the difference. Father God, I pray that you would remove every hindrance, bind up every distraction, every lie of the devil. I pray that you would curse pride. Curse it in Jesus' name. Lord, if they're here today and they're cold and dead in their spirit, I pray that like Lazarus, they would respond to the word that has been given. Lord, I'll give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. Nobody will judge you. As a matter of fact, we will rejoice with you. We will shout with you. We will pray with you. We'll come alongside. And we'll walk with you. But if you know you're dead in your heart, I don't care how long it's been since you've been to this altar. If you know that you've been laying in a cold, dead tomb called religion, God's calling you out. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I'm going to ask that you step out from where you are and make your way to this front in Jesus' name. Come on, step out. I'm expecting this altar to be full. I'm expecting this altar to be full. Come on, step out from where you are. Don't worry about what somebody else is going to think. Don't worry about who else is going to go. In the name of Jesus, from where you are, step up to this front and kneel before the Lord. And I'm asking that. I pray, goodness gracious. There are many of you standing still in your place, and God is talking to you, and you know that it is the voice of the Lord. It is the power, the conviction of the Holy Ghost. Hear me as I say to you, if you walk out of this building, if you ignore the voice of God, you better pray that He'll speak to you again someday. God is dealing with you now. Today is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. It doesn't matter what you've got going on. There's nothing more important. Please, if God's dealing with you, do not ignore the touch of the Holy Ghost on your life. I want some altar workers to come in behind these. Hurry, please. Hurry and step in behind these and begin to pray for them. If you're here today and God's dealing with you and you've not yet made it to this altar, I will be praying that God would soften your heart to know that you can sit in a service like this with a word of warning like this and be unmoved is a frightening thing. If you need prayer, I don't care who you are. If you're cold and dead in your heart, get up here now in the name of Jesus. Altar workers, lay your hands on them and begin to pray. Loosen every bondage in Jesus' name. Roll away the stone.